September 26, 2015, it's a Watt from Pedro show.
Yeah.
Watchful Pedro Show, back from tour. First Cuz tour, England and Scotland, Wales, Belgium, and Netherlands, where I saw painter man Phil in Amsterdam, who's a friend of a guest here today. I'm here in Pedro. I'm not with Brother Matt, though. He's hooking up this new situation with teaching. So that came through after 23 years, you know, they all of a sudden he was a non-person with the bureaucracy and clerical error hell, and so he's getting on with that. But I'm here in my pad in Pedro, and we start off with John Coltrane doing Doxy, and then from the Universal Indians with Joe McPhee, Skullduggery, an excerpt given to me by our guest via the magic of Skype, John Dykeman.
Hello, Mike. How you doing?
Welcome. Yeah. Now.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. What can you tell me about the Universal Indians?
Well, Universal Indians, that's a trio with myself and the rhythm section of Jan Rune Strom and Tollef Osvang, who are both from Norway. And we got together, I guess, maybe 3 or 4 years ago in Amsterdam. The drummer Tollef was in Amsterdam for, I don't know, 6 months studying. And I was supposed to have a duo gig with Ono Hovart at this place, Saul 100. And at the last minute, he canceled because he was sick. And I'd heard of this guy, Tollef, who was a Norwegian drummer. And I thought, well, he's Norwegian. He's probably okay. So I called him up and said, hey, do you want to play? And he said, yeah, and I've got this bass player friend in town. So maybe he can join too. So that's all. We played one gig. So, and then we, yeah, took it from there, started doing some tours.
So, you know, you talk about all these nationalities and stuff. Nobody in the band is actually from India.
No, no, absolutely not. No, well,
just like what they call the native people over here by the wrong name also.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
John, can you tell me your earliest musical memory?
My earliest musical memory... Wow, I have no idea. Maybe it was my mother like playing The Sound of Music or something at home.
Julie
something
Andrews.
Something like this. Yeah, exactly.
The Von Trapp family.
Exactly.
But John Coltrane did an interesting take on that song. One of the songs.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay,
yeah.
So what you remember first about music is your ma playing records.
Yes.
What about the first record you bought yourself?
The first, well, let me see. The first CD, I guess, I bought, I think would have been, rather I really want to say it, Kenny G, because
where I grew up. Because he played soprano, right?
Exactly. But where I grew up, that was literally the only saxophone CD that you could buy. That's all they had.
And where'd you grow up?
Store. I grew up in Kemmer, Wyoming.
Okay, my ma was born in a town called Dines and grew up there till the company closed it. It was by Rock Springs in the west.
Okay, yeah. Kemmer is out there as well. Rock Springs, that's about an hour and a half away.
Okay. Yeah, and I can tell you that there's not a lot going on. I think Joe Carducci is in Centennial, Wyoming. Okay, then I got to backtrack. Your first record was Kenny G, and you got it because it was the only sax. Then were you already delving into playing an instrument?
I mean, like, my family didn't listen to music that much, so I didn't really get into music other than watching musicals on TV or something. Or maybe, like, I grew up very religious, so maybe we had some Christian rock albums or something. But the first time I actually, like, pursued a CD for myself, I want to go out and buy music, was after I started playing saxophone when I was 11.
Now, how'd you get into the sax?
That was just a school band.
School band, okay. We're talking grade school, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. So. Yeah, but that's a pretty good music program. We didn't have music. The only music we had, not my grade school here in Pedro, was like singing rounds and shit like that. Somebody got to play the auto harp. And in Virginia, too, it was like that. There was no really band instruments, so much respect for your school system, even though tiny town, they were letting you play instruments that early.
Yeah. Huh. So when did they have instruments for you where you were growing up?
Junior high here in Pedro at Dotson. In fact, they put me on the clarinet for 10 weeks, and then his name is Mr. Luna. He said, Watt, you try hard, but, you know.
It's just not in you.
Stop wasting your time, and stop wasting my time, and stop wasting our time, you know, in front of the whole class. So I never tried to take another music class. The next time I got into music was not too much later, but it was to be with D. Boone. But I have no disrespect against people, school and stuff. I just had kind of not a very, what would you call it, inducive experience. So they put you on saxophone, or did you pick saxophone?
Well, actually, I wanted to play drums, but there were too many people that wanted to play drums.
Sure.
So then I had to play saxophone, but actually too many people wanted to play sax, so in fact I started on clarinet.
That's what happened to me. I wanted to do sax too, but so did everybody else,
And that was the thing, that you had to take clarinet, and then you had to audition to play saxophone. And just recently a friend of mine told me that the band teacher, actually, just after I switched to saxophone, sort of told him, yeah, I don't know if John can really do it. Maybe this other guy's better. Maybe we should just left him on clarinet. So that's funny. I almost got the scrap as well.
And there's much different fingering, right? I mean, there's holes to cover up.
Yeah, it's a bit different, for sure.
My brother Steve McKay and the Stooges told me that a clarinet man can go to sax, but it's hard for a sax man to go to clarinet.
Yeah. It's trickier the other way around,
I would say, for sure. So, okay, you start playing saxophone at 11 years old, and you got to wait until some Kenny G shows up at the store. So you're really only playing what the teacher's laying out for you.
Well, I mean, pretty early on, like, my parents were really supportive, and also we lived in the middle of nowhere, so we were used to, you know, to buy a pair of jeans, you'd have to drive an hour, you know.
Sure.
For orthodontist or something, we'd drive 2 hours to Salt Lake City. And so pretty early on, like, I was taking lessons from the high school band teacher when I was still in junior high or whatever. But then after a while she said, yeah, you need a real saxophone teacher. And so I would go study with a guy in Salt Lake City.
Damn. 2 hours.
Yeah, it was really...
That was 2 hours each way.
2 hours each way. And that was at first. After a while, that guy sort of said, all right, you know, maybe when I was around 13, 14? No, maybe around 14. My teacher there said, okay, maybe now you should try another teacher. And I ended up studying with a guy in Laramie. So luckily my
Laramie's on the other side of the state.
Yeah, it was like 5 hour drive each way. So once a month we'd drive over and I'd have a 5 hour lesson. And then we'd come home, or there was a while my mother was taking, she was getting her master's at the university there.
Sure.
So we'd sort of try and combine the trip with some of her studies and whatever.
Let's listen to some Cactus Truck here. La 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 la
Thank you. I'm gonna get you alone. I'm gonna get you alone.
Watch for Pedro show. Started off with Cactus Truck doing Search and Restore there. All voices, guitar solo, Strawberry Letter 23, Petra Hayden, acapella. Clonk with Azoy, Ichi with Waka P, Satan from Bani Toriko, High by Wire, Brand New Wire, Super Horse by See You in Tijuana, He'll Have to Go, Tav Falco. I got a tour coming up with him in a couple weeks. Alone by Shock and Awe. And finally, Cactus Truck with Aporia, an excerpt from Mr. John Dagman, a guest here. So, okay, after all this schooling, where are we up to? Like 15 years old now? You're going to Laramie?
Yeah, let me see. So at this point,
high school.
Yeah, I don't know. I was going crazy in Wyoming, naturally, because there was just nothing to do. I got a letter in the mail that I should apply for this arts academy in Michigan, which I'm not sure why I got it, but just a letter saying they needed saxophones.
What
and
town?
I should apply. In Michigan, that was in, Interlochen's the town. It's near Traverse City.
Sure.
So, yeah, it's this big sort of like fancy arts boarding school. And, I figured that, you know, I didn't think much of it because we couldn't afford it and I didn't think I'd be able to get in. But my parents realized I was going nuts. They're like, yeah, go ahead, audition, give it a try. And I got in, and somehow they worked it out. You know, we got some scholarship and whatever. So I ended up going there for 2 years, studying at that place, which was incredible for me. Actually, that's where, I don't know if you know this friend of mine, Ava Mendoza, if you run across her.
Yeah, it's the guitarist.
Yeah, guitarist.
I got to jam with her, a friend of Devin Hoff.
Yes, yeah.
Nels Klein.
Yeah.
I've played a lot of her music on my show here. I got a lot of respect for her. But she went to that school with you?
Yeah, we were there together. And in fact, I remember the first album of yours that I got was from her. It was what does it say? Sex With You is Like Watching Scientific Wrestling. What's the title of that guy?
Ball Hog and Tugboat.
Yeah.
20 years old now. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Nels Klein's all over that, unfortunately, Ava.
Sure.
But I played a lot of Ava. So what came of that? 2 years of school there.
2 years at school. I mean, that was great. That was just, like, really serious study.
Yeah, not once a month,
composition,
yeah. Happening. Kind
of, but also it was the first time that, like, I was in an environment full of artists.
Yeah, immersed.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And so instead of, like, the school I grew up in where, you know, I had almost no friends and people thought I was a freak, I was surrounded by freaks, you know. It was all these visual artists and whatever. And so, yeah, that was amazing. I mean, I learned a lot, but also socially that was the first time where I sort of felt comfortable or something, you know. But then, so I went there for 2 years, and then I went to Bennington very briefly to stay with Milford Graves. But by then we had no money, you know, because again, you know, my family didn't have a lot of money. My dad worked for the post office. He was the postmaster in our little town. And my mother was a teacher. So after paying for high school, I was just, you know, sort of fucked for quite a while. So then I dropped out and moved to New York. And in the end, I'm glad about that because, you know, at the time already when I was in Bennington, I was playing a lot of gigs with master's degrees from NEC or whatever. And they were playing the same sort of door gigs that I was playing, you know. So in the end, I guess maybe that was the right move. I don't know.
Well, whatever happened. What about New York City?
New York was cool. I mean, I was there. I was married at the time. It was like a lot of pressure. I was working sort of 50, 60-hour weeks installing satellite dishes while playing gigs, you know. Just kind of the normal New York life of working your ass off, hustling, and trying to make music. And But it was great. I got a chance to play with a lot of great people. Like, I was playing with Nate Woolley quite a bit at the time, Mike Pride, Tatsuya Nakatani, some of these guys I was just starting to meet and play with. So that was cool. But I was only there a year, and I moved to Philadelphia for a year. And then I ended up in Cairo, Egypt for a while. So I was just sort of floating around for a bit.
Yeah, well, how'd you get there to Holland?
Well, okay, so that was all from, like, I had an ex-girlfriend who worked for a hotel company. So she kind of had the opportunity to move wherever she wanted in the world to some extent. So every couple of years we'd say, oh, you know, do you want to move to Egypt? Why not? Maybe Budapest. Amsterdam came up eventually, and then we moved here. And then I just stayed. So now I've been here 7 years, I guess.
And we heard some Cactus Truck. That band's from that town, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And tell me something about Cactus Truck. Yeah.
That's myself and Jasper Stadthouders on guitar and bass, and Ono Hovart on drums. Mm-hmm. So they're from Tilburg, the south of the Netherlands, but we all live in Amsterdam.
There's a very important Tilburg gig I did once. It was with Jay Maskus and both the Ashton brothers.
Okay.
Because Ed heard about that gig, and that's when he asked the Ashton brothers to play on his Skull Ring record, and that was instrumental in reuniting the Stooges.
Right.
Ig and Ronnie hadn't talked in many, many years. And because of that Tilburg gig, it was called Ashton, Maskus, and Watt. Just doing Stooges songs, you know, with half the Stooges. For me and Jay, it was a mind blow, but it ended up led up to 125 months serving with them.
Huh.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Excuse me.
So, no, but is that how that happened? You've been working with the Ashton brothers for a while? Or?
No, not that long. Jay Maskus wanted to play. Well, first he took Ronnie on tour when I was doing bass for Jay Maskus in the Fog, and then it was Thurston's idea to get Scotty back on the drums.
And, right.
Yeah, maybe about a year. And Big heard about it and wanted to get back together with those guys. But anyway, I only mentioned that because you said half your band, or two-thirds of your band is from Tilburg, and it just rang a bell in my head.
Okay.
Well, it's only Tilburg gig, but it was a very important gig. Well, they're all important, you know that.
Wow.
Okay, so you guys, you got together how?
Well, I mean, you know, the scene here is small. We met each other, you know. I've been playing with the Osprey a little bit, and then...
You guys all met in Amsterdam.
What was that?
All met in Amsterdam.
Yeah, all in Amsterdam, you know. And Jasper just had the idea that the three of us should get together and just play as loud and as fast as we possibly could and see how that worked out. So it was just kind of a funny idea, like almost just a practice idea or something. But then we realized we really liked playing that way. You know?
Okay.
So,
it started out an improvised thing.
Well, it's all improvised. It's still totally improvised.
Okay.
I mean, the parameters are pretty set in that, like, we have a certain idea about density and energy, and we have a pretty clear goal as to what we're doing. But, yeah, the actual content is always totally improvised.
But the first goal was just to play as fast and loud as you could. But it was probably...
But of course, like, that's the way that we're going to try and make good music, whatever we think that is, within that parameter. But that was the idea, because I think a lot of us, like, for me personally, I was sort of afraid to do that. And I think, actually, it's something very natural to me and the music I need to make, actually, you know? I think I spent a lot of time trying to do very subtle, abstract stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm just not that guy, you know. I need to express that. I'm sort of a loud person. I want these sort of, like, epic, euphoric, you know, expressionistic moments in music. And so it was great just to break it down and not to worry about it and just make it simple. Like, let's just play. Let's freak out. And... And then that's something we tried to hone later, and we worked on, you know, and again, the idea of trying to create music that's good within that, sure, whatever that means. But just to really let go initially, that was really helpful.
Okay, it's been the first hour of the September 26, 2015 edition of Wat for Pedro Show. My guest, John Dykeman. Hold tight for hour two. September 26, 2015. It's the second hour of Wat for Pedro Show.
Thank you. dead who love her eternally. She will be white without boundaries, united by snow.
Watch for Pedro show. Start off the second hour with Dykeman Parker Drake doing Invocation, an excerpt provided by my guest, John Dykeman. What can you tell me about this Drake, Parker, and Dykeman trio?
Yeah, that's something that came together a year ago. So that's William Parker and Hameed Drake.
The bass man. Yeah, incredible. I got to see, Thurston took me to see a one-man show of his called Testament or something like that. It was incredible.
Okay. Of who, Hameed or?
William Parker doing something called Testament. In fact, I got a cassette tape of it. He was selling cassette tapes. And it was a one-man tour de force, man. It was like 40 minutes sweat. The old shitting factory that was on Houston.
Okay.
Not Leonard. And I guess there's one in Brooklyn. Anyway, how did you get together with Mr. Parker? I mean, he's a hero to me, man.
Yeah, me too, for sure. I'm involved in this musicians collective in Amsterdam called Duke, and we do a yearly festival. And so last year I kind of had the opportunity to present something at the festival. So it's something where in the past I'd done bands I already had or whatever, but it was one of those things where I realized I was given this opportunity, and this wasn't the kind of thing that was going to happen forever, that I had a festival where I could just ask people if they wanted to come play. And so I decided, you know, fuck it, I'm just going to invite William Parker and Hameed Drake. Because those are the guys, I mean, you know, shortly after Kenny G, you know, I was listening to these guys since I was a teenager. You know, the stuff they did with Peter Brotzmann, like both of them individually. I mean, they're truly like heroes of mine. So I just contacted them and asked them if they'd be interested in playing. And for some reason, they said yes. So we booked a little tour around that. We played the festival, a couple other gigs. That track is from Cafe Otto. So that was the last gig of that tour. And then this year, actually, we just finished 2 or 3 weeks ago another tour.
Ah, so it's ongoing. So, great.
Yeah, amazingly. Yeah, there was one of those things, too, where, you know, I invited them. I didn't really expect them to say yes. And then it was sort of a doubled thing. It's like, okay, I get to play with William Parker and Hameed Drake. Great. On the other hand, fuck, now I have to play with William Parker and Hameed Drake. You know, it was really terrifying, you know. But, it's been amazing.
We had Matt Ritvo Group of Queensberry Street after that. Barbez with Mizmor Lasaf stepped down from Seafield. That's got Eid, I think. The guy who played drums in the Cuz tour I just did. Shades of Now and Then by the Telepaths. The bass band came up, talked to me, Lester. Tim, yeah. Super Fast Girly Show with Freaks, brand new record. That's Brother Phil there in Liverpool, with the Pasha. They got a hurt head from drinking too much Jim Beam, so I feel a little responsible for that. There's nothing wrong with my head, though. It's got rocks in it. Now, I Think I'm Losing My Mind by the Soaks. And finally, the Pre-Existing Conditions doing a cover of D. Boone's Corona. John Dykeman here talking about his journey through music. Here he is in Europe, and he's playing with these incredible improvisers. If somebody asked you about improvisation, like a young man, young woman, that was just getting into it, and they asked you, what do you think the first principle is? What would you tell them?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, for me, I guess it's all about expression, you know? It's all about, like, find the music you want to make, you know, and to trust yourself to do it. So the first step probably in improvising, I mean, aside from just being able to use the instrument enough to produce something, but the first thing is to trust yourself enough to let go, you know, to be able to let yourself really express and explore. And I think that's probably the first leap to make as an improviser.
come non funziona la mutazione? Come non si progredisce? Come non si proietta? Come non si eietta idea che non sia retta da uno slancio che rifletta a terra sullo skyline dell'occhio ed inchiodato al poco tempo dell'attimo esplode in sotto idee, tramuta per regni astratti in terre vere, in terze capisemi spostandosi dai lati ai centri nevralgici e l'onda genera pieghe su pieghe, dentro pieghe, attorniate la pieghe, una festa di impulsi, una scossa che si infrange sui flussi, cambiando le corsi, portate, letti da fulmini, aggrappati ai fulmini, non ripararti, né temporali, alla ricerca dei vantaggi, sotto gli alberi, si aspetta un sacco, si aspetta un magazzino, si aspetta tanto da scordarsene, si aspetta tanto da andarsene, dimenticarsi cosa sia questo attiratore vuoto di particelle che ho nel centro del petto, la luce può lasciarmi? Come no? Non sono mica un buco nero? Forse sì, dai che non lo sono, ecco vedi, mi distrago un attimo, non riesco più nemmeno a ricordarmi come trasleggere pensieri importanti, comincio ad udire cani che appaiono, motrici che motrono, matrone che gridano, avevo avuto un bel momento di concentrazione e invece sono ancora qui a spiegarmi e non godere della scomodità coinvolgente, elettrica, pungente, termodinamica, come ho fatto ad avere quell'idea? Aspettavo i fulmini, ecco cosa, ecco come, le provo tutte, inverto pure le parole per dire come ed incontrare l'altro da me, è l'unica cosa che cosa? Mi sono dimenticato ancora, forse volevo aggiustare la maniglia della porta, o forse come volevo potare questo salice bianco con quella sega da banco, vediamo se va anche con le file, sì va, come? Sbatto la testa contro un ramo, ecco il mio fulmine di alterità, non me l'aspettavo, e sono di nuovo tumulti, non taciti, ringrazio l'altero che riesce sempre a sorprendermi, soprattutto quando sono attento e mi aspetto di tutto, come il male di vivere, come la condizione svantaggiosa, come cercare di capire, come parliamo due lingue diverse, e non le parleremmo lo stesso anche se le parlassimo?
watching a movie on an aeroplane, or the ringing heights over the Atlantic, comatose under a broken air conditioner that won't turn off.
Thank you.
Watch for Pedro show. Just heard Mr. Susan, Birds with Hats. Stony Spring before that, brand new, A Nation's Cry. Stony Spring, what a name. I mean, I don't mean to laugh, but Jesus. Let's call it Stony Spring. Okay. I've played them a few times. I like this stuff. GG Band, a demo. They're making a new album. They got Choi on bass now. We Fly Econo Jet Set. The extract ahead of that, out of Canada with Glenn Gooley. I wonder if that's a Canadian expression. I've heard Glenn Gooley. I think it's some dude's name. A new woman before that, You're Effective. They opened for us in Leeds. Pretty. They got it's a two-piece, and one guy, it says that he does, what's it say, hip thrust? Uh-huh. You know, some guys list guitar. Drums and shit. He plays hip thrust, okay. And flamboyance, and not a cowboy. Okay, uh-huh. So that's what he's listed. Yeah, they're a great band. And Uochitoki ahead of that with Fomina de Alteria, Alterita, sorry. And From Ascent to Refusal, an excerpt provided by John Dykeman, Dykeman Noble, and Ceres. Much respect to you. Not knowing your name, Mr. S. Senor S. Don S. So tell me something about this trio.
Well, let me see. Me and Dirk have been working together quite a bit over the last year, I guess. He's done a lot of stuff. He had sort of an ambient career with Vidna Obmana. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right. Fear Falls Burning was another project of his. He had all these different projects and different aliases. And then at some point, he decided to get into improvisation. I think some other people in Belgium were sort of pushing him towards that, including this guy Guy Peters, who's a real avid sort of fan, journalist, whatever, helpful guy in the scene there. And somehow he suggested that he play with me. And so we did one gig together, and then he immediately booked a studio for us to do a duo, and suddenly we've done a lot of stuff since then. This time we had a recording date in London, and so we recorded with some other guys, Colin Webster, Andrew Lyle, but Dirk, being the extremely like active guy that he is, decided, well, you know, we can record one album in the morning, and then we've still got the place all night, so, you know, in the evening, let's call up Steve Noble and record another album. So that was the first time we ever played trio. I'd played with Steve just maybe once before, but that was the first time we played trio, and he just came in. We played 23 minutes, took a break. We played another 22 minutes, took a break, or maybe that was it. So we just came in, played side A, side B, and that was it.
Wow, it doesn't seem like many people were on flamboyance.
No, we lost the flamboyance. Well, I don't know. We were thrusting our hips in there.
Yeah,
we were
moving back. That's probably where most of the energy was going. That's Econo, you know, no wasted downtime.
I mean, I was amazed too, because like for Dirk to, you know, he hired the studio.
Sure.
With just enough time for us to do that. And I'm a pretty insecure, paranoid guy. Like I would be afraid to go in and be like, all right, we've got 1 hour, let's put out an LP. But actually it worked. I mean, I'm pretty happy with the result. So yeah, it was interesting.
Yeah, there's something about he who dares, right?
Yeah, every once in a while it works. Sometimes it doesn't, but I thought that went all right.
Paying the price for rolling the dice, I think it's worth it.
Yeah.
We're at the end of the second hour, September 26, 2015 edition of the Watt for Pedro show. Guest John Dykeman. Good people, hold tight for hour three. September 26, 2015. It's hour three of the Watt from Pedro show. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. This is a folk song, a what the fuck song. This ain't a love song, so what the fuck. This is a folk song, a what the fuck song. This ain't a love song, so what the fuck. Shoes fit swing up your ass, and that bastard chairman Mao. Oi! Gather up your guns, it's time to slay the sacred cow. Oh, this is a folk song, a what the fuck song. This ain't a love song, so what the fuck. This is a folk song, a what the fuck song. This ain't a love song, so what the fuck. Going down in infamy, it's a filthersome, no doubt. Oi! Who's the biggest tyrant that you ever heard about? Oh, Cromwell in Ireland, Hitler in Europe, John Brown in Kansas, and then St. Paul. Cromwell in Ireland, Hitler in Europe, John Brown in Kansas, and then St. Paul. Oh, that strange September near 400 years ago. Aye! Cromwell came to Ireland sending thunder, hail, and snow. Well, this is a folk song, a what the fuck song. This ain't a love song, so what the fuck. This is a folk song, a what the fuck song. This ain't a love song, a what the fuck. In the Irish history books, so bishops all report. Aye, and how the English Puritans killed Irishmen for sport. Oh, this is a folk song, a what the fuck song. This ain't a love song, so what the fuck. This is a folk song, a what the fuck song. This ain't a love song, so what the fuck.
Yeah. you've gone and done now, you idiot. Look at what you've gone and done now. Look at what you've gone and done now,
you idiot.
Look at what you've gone and done now. Look at ya, covered in shit.
when they fade songs out.
Watt from Pedro Show. I was thinking about Wyoming. You know, the license plates, there's so few cars in that state that they use one space of the number just for a guy on a horse.
Yeah.
You don't have to use all the numbers across the thing. Okay, we start off the third hour with more of the trio you got with Mr. Parker, Mr. Drake, called Why Funk, an excerpt you provided me with. That was something live, right?
Yep. That was live at Larissa Stenza.
It sounds like all these excerpts that you've given me are live. Is that true?
Let me see. The Cactus Struck stuff is studio.
Oh, yeah. Those are whole tunes.
Yeah, almost. I mean, with Cactus Struck, I mean, in general, normally my pieces or, you know, improvisations I'm involved in can be from 10 minutes to 20 minutes or they're 20 seconds. I don't have much in between, you know.
Right. I think one for Roy is like 4 or 5 minutes.
Yeah, there were a couple like that, yeah.
And Fourth Wind. No, that's a real short one. Fuck You, Nash.
No, that's a bit longer. That's like 5 minutes, yeah. Okay. But not super long, yeah.
Anyway, we had Pharoah Sanders in the Underground. He's playing with some Brazil cats, you know. One of the guys came to my Sao Paulo band, came to my gig in London and was telling me... And he gave me this record. It's called Assassu Suma Men, Pharoah in the Underground. So, John Coltrane picked Pharoah to be in his band. I've seen him many times with Pettibone here in Hollywood. And, you know, it was during years where he didn't really have maybe the best bands. I remember one time there was a little side room, and he's wearing like 2 or 3 pairs of glasses, and he just goes into the side room and starts playing with the hatch shut. And the kids on stage, they don't know what to do. You know, they're freaking out.
Right.
It was a trip. Right. But it sounds like with these Brazilian cats, Pharoah's in a big swing. Then Julian Cope with Cromwell Ireland live, Cliche Hardcore R, Petrol Terriers. Yeah, Petrol Terriers, played with them in... Newcastle. You know what you call people from Newcastle, right?
No idea.
Geordies.
Geordies.
Yeah.
That's
now,
Newcastle.
Now you know.
Okay.
Serbia, Vile. These guys are really smart. They put 2 V's together in front of H-I-L-E, so it looks like Wile.
Okay.
And a tune called Vanity, and finally, Leval. Out of south part of London with Third Person Shitter. The title intrigues me, a Third Person Shitter. Okay, so what do you got coming up in the future there?
What do I have coming up? Let me see. Actually, with Derek and Steve, we have a little tour in December. So that's going to be in Europe. We're working on a tour with Cactus Truck, maybe in Brazil and Argentina at the end of December. End of November, I'm going to be touring with Michael Zerang. Do you know this guy? Great drummer, percussionist from Chicago. He's got a band called the Blue Lights.
Oh, wow.
We'll do a tour with that. Yeah.
Over there in Europe?
Yeah.
All you got plans to come U.S. side?
Yeah, I think so. In April, we're with the Duke, this festival, we're going to have an exchange with Chicago.
Okay.
So a group of us will go over there for like 5 days in April. And then we may also be touring the States in June with Universal Indians with Joe McPhee.
Yeah. What we played first.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, a few there. Right now it's a lot of, you know, just computer work, you know. The other side of the music thing is just sitting around trying to get gigs. That's kind of where I'm at the moment.
Oh, okay.
But stuff's coming up. So that's nice.
Let's play some Cactus Truck right now.
Ha ha ha!
hungry man. Forgive me, the bewildered one. I am a Soviet. I am the powerless. Here I am, proletariat. I'm not a tortured man. I am the everyman. Made my decision and my deed is done. I am the bastard son. I'll kill everyone. Never better over there. Never better over here. Never better anywhere. Made my decision and I'm through. It's all over now for me. Yes, it's all over for you. Heroic man, but he was a privileged man, he was an aristocrat. I'm finished life, well, it's over now. I am the chosen one, we bled for everyone. Never better over there, never better over here, never better anywhere. Made my decision and I'm through. It's all over now for me, cause it's all over for you. Thank you.
slanted hippie. Gonna smoke your homegrown self-pity. Hey, ask the punk casualty. Go wallow in your generation's tragedies. Hey. Hey.
from Pedro Show, the last music for this edition. We had Cactus Truck doing Fourth Wind. Patsy from Decker. I think I'm going to play with Decker. With Tad Falco and Flagstaff. End of October. Untitled excerpt from Good for Cows at the 2007 Unlimited Festival in Vels, Austria. That's got Devin Hoff. I'm going to record with him tomorrow night. Joe Berardi.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, we've been in this concept, the Emma Goldman Bust Out Brigade, we've had for years, and finally we got time where we both can play. Jim Borati's incredible stick man. And
right.
So he's going to play one of the Manpeg Baby Bass and a stand up, and I'm going to do this P bass. I got this yellow P bass, you know, the only thing original is the plate with the screw and the screws for the neck and the buttons right. for the strap. But I still call it my. It was made in Mexico, you know. So it's, but
right.
none of it. You know how them Fenders are. They're like that. They're peaceful. My buddy Dirk Vandenberg got it all together for me, so I'm going to use that. At Casa Hanzo tomorrow. That's so righteous about these days. It is easier to record. I know you say the pewters to get the bookings, but also pewters made things more economical right. for studios. Yeah. So anytime I want now, I got Casa Hanzo here in Pedro. Pete Mazich okay. from my second man got that running. Very happy. Then we had Bubblegum, My Surgical Beat Bros, Future Boogie, Shaking Godspeed, Then Is Now by Kevin Hewick. I met him in Leicester. Rebel Girl, which is a Bikini Kill song that me and Nels Klein and Bob Lee did, but now Terry Genderbender just did it with the Melvins. And finally, Bikini Kill with Playground. I remember Dose got to play with Bikini Kill. And what did they call that? It was called Riot Girl. And that's how I got to meet the Kill Rockstars people. In fact, me, Nels, and Bob Lee have a record on Kill Rockstar called This Is a Prayer that Nels Klein wrote just for that. And then on the other side was me, like kind of a command performance. Nels, can you give me a cover of the Cat and Beefheart, you know, the carrot's as good as a diamond to a whatever.
Oh, yeah, rabbit. The Lick My Decals Off thing. No?
I think it's on I Scream for Crook. No.
Yeah, I don't know.
I can't remember. I thought that, no, maybe it's on Doc at the Radar Station.
Uh-huh.
But there's other versions of it. Yeah, I think there's old versions of it that go back, because I would get bootlegs and stuff, and you see how the captain revisited a lot of his material,
right?
Or
right.
Transformed it. Anyway, of course, Nels did it. It was really hard.
Yeah,
I think it was, because it wasn't the Zudhorn Rollo. It was Jeff Morris Tepper, and he had to do it by the captain's voice. I remember Spotsky trying out for Magic Man. He said, "Yeah, the what do you call it? The interview, the tryout, the audition. He would just bite his voice, and you'd have to play it back. And he'd wait a few minutes, and he'd ask you to play it back again. See, it was quite demanding on the memory to be in the Magic Man.
Sure.
That's why Drumbo's so amazing, really putting that together. But much respect to him. Look, I ask everybody this on the show." About this music thing, this music racket, what advice would you give to somebody? I know we just spoke on improvisation already, but what about just the idea of music?
Yeah, I don't know. I've got nothing. I just say, like, find what you can from anything you can. Like, if you're a musician, just try and be honest with yourself and get what you can from it. I don't know. I think that's all we could do, period, right?
I can't answer my own question. I guess I could. I guess I could say I agree with you.
Yeah.
I agree. No, really, what you say is good stuff because, sometimes it seems there's other motives people try to shove down the throat of that direction, and I think it don't work out that way for them.
Right. Well, also the other motives, I mean, yeah, I don't know, that whatever, even if you're looking for money or something like that, even if you get it, then you're going to just need more, right? And whatever you're looking for, once you get it, you're going to need more. It's just about trying to find contentment at the moment if you can. I don't know. I think just like be able to satisfy yourself with what you're doing. I think that's as good as it gets, really. And hopefully, if you reach other people, that's amazing too.
Or just the cats you're playing with, right? The collaborations.
Yeah, exactly.
Try to make the conversation interesting.
Yeah, it's real basic. It's just human interaction. It's just like trying to communicate with other people. That's it, you know.
That's great stuff from a man from a little town in Wyoming, now in Amsterdam. John Dykeman, much respect.
Thank you, Mike.
September 26, 2015 edition of the Wife of Pedro Show. People, keep your powder dry.